Church Uniting, it is good to be together today. Good to see your faces out there looking at me. So good to be together this morning. Thank you for joining us today. And those of you at home, we are delighted that you have tuned in to join us as well. As we begin our time of worship, I light a candle for you and for me, a symbol of the light of love in you and in me that unites us, connects us, and brings us together wherever we are. Join me in prayer as we receive some words from Annie Vidrine's poem, Into Deep Water. Let's pray. Put out into deep water. Use a bucket, not a ladle. Your sustenance is drawn from the vastness where the source of life resides. You may be conditioned into thinking that you must provide for others, but let that belief go. When the living spring is flowing from within your depths, provision will naturally arise. When you try to scoop out drops from a dry well of shoulds, you have nothing to give. There is an ebb and flow to life. Let it be. The supply is equal to the demand. All will be well. Do this one thing. Put out into deep water. Amen. Peace of Christ to you this day. I invite you to share a piece of Christ with each other this morning as a wave or a peace sign. I invite you to turn to one another today and share the peace of Christ. Amen. And now let us join our hearts and voices in our opening hymn. I invite you to hum quietly to yourself where you are as we enjoy our offering of music this morning. This time, I would like to invite up our newly elected elders and deacons to join me at the front. And Ryan, if you don't mind taking a place at the podium, please. Thank you. Alrighty. Pay attention to Jeffrey's finger here. Church of God, these who are standing before you have been elected and called to serve, to be servants of this community, to join with the pastor in pastoral work, spiritual development, and administration of this community. Christ Church Uniting has called Paul Herring to serve as deacon, Peggy Zeilinger to serve as deacon, Diane Winter Brookins to serve as elder, and Ryan Goff to serve as elder. We also have the special privilege of ordaining Ryan Goff this day to the ministry and work of the council as elder. Ryan, do you accept the call to serve and support this community seeking its ultimate good?
I do, with God's help.
Will you continue to grow, learn, and hone the many skills required for leadership and servanthood in the body of Christ?
I will, with God's help.
People of God, you have heard Ryan's commitment this day. What do you desire? Amen. And now, will you deacons and elders here who have been called by God through this community and ordained to the offices of deacon and elder, will you strive to support, nurture, and provide the needful administration for this community?
We will, with God's help.
And will you, community of Christ Church Uniting, support your leadership in the work that is theirs to do? Amen. Then by this testimony, we rejoice in your leadership and your commitment to servanthood. I invite those of you gathered here or watching at home to extend your hand toward these individuals who have been faithful to the call of service as we pray. Creative and generous God, we lift to you Paul, Peggy, Diane, and Ryan, who have committed themselves to the service of this church as deacons and elders. May they be filled with the grace required to fulfill the duties and opportunities of their callings. Grant them wisdom as they meet with integrity the needs of this community. May they be sustained by your presence and open to growth. We say a special blessing for Ryan as he begins a new aspect of his journey with Christ Church Uniting. May there be an abundance of grace, an abundance of support along the way. In the name of the one who came to serve Jesus Christ, we set them apart as leaders, as servants of this beloved community. Blessings upon your work and ministry. Amen. At this time, for the cakey and the cakey at heart, Auntie Beth has a word for us.
Hi, friends, and welcome to February. Each Sunday this month, we're going to be exploring some special stories from the Bible here in our worship space that we've created. Maybe you can do something in your home where you also put together some special things to play worship, play church, and you might even want to put on a special scarf, or this is called a stole here at church, and maybe you bring a Bible. I've got a couple here. A candle is always a good way to gather. Maybe even a cup and a plate to do communion. So today we're going to start with this special, almost looks like a present. I wonder if it's a parable. A parable is very precious, like gold. And this is gold, and it has a lid, and it makes me wonder what's inside. That's kind of how parables are. Special stories with a message that you kind of have to look inside. So let's see what's in here. Oh my goodness, That is a lot of green. I better make some space for this. I wonder what that could be. What else is in the box? Let's see. Well, there's this blue, beautiful blue. There's some kind of dark three blotches here. I'm not quite sure what that's gonna be. Oh, there's these brown things. I wonder, it's almost like a road. Maybe it's kind of like a little house. And, cute. Little sheep. There's three of them in here. We'll put them inside. And this story has a shepherd. This story tells us about how the good shepherd calls the sheep by name and takes them to green grasses of beauty, and the sheep follow because they hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow. And around the still blue waters, and they follow, so they don't get lost. Because sometimes there is darkness and there's scary places, but if they follow the good shepherd, the sheep will get through the scary places back to their home safely. And this is a story that you might want to explore more in your Bible. Check out Psalm 23. Let's pray. Dear loving and creative God, thank you for being the good shepherd. Thank you for guiding us to beautiful places and guiding us through times of darkness and scary times, and knowing that you are there to guide us home. Bless this week ahead. Amen.
Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke 5, 1 through 11. Listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. Once, while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Good morning again. It really is so good to see you out there today. It just so happens that on the same day that we install and ordain our deacons and elders to service, that the scripture reading is Jesus calling his first disciples. That was not planned. It just sort of happened that way. A happy accident, as Bob Ross might say. The installation we did today looks a bit different from that of Simon, James, and John. The scene begins with Jesus standing at the edge of Lake Gennesaret, which means harp or harp-shaped. Other writers call this the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. Those might be more familiar to us. And as Jesus is standing there, the crowd gathers around him, pressing in on him, eager to hear him speak. Jesus walks down toward one of the boats sitting along the shoreline, and three fishermen are there cleaning their nets after an abysmal night of fishing. No fish, not a single solitary one. I imagine them tired, defeated, frustrated, all this work, all this effort, and nothing to show for it but empty, dirty nets. And then here comes Jesus, crowd behind him, walking down toward their boats. "What now?" one might exasperatedly say to the other. Jesus climbs into one of the boats and asks the fisherman called Simon to take him into the shallows. Net still in hand, Simon Peter makes his way over to the boat and shoves off from the bank. As they are rocking gently in the shallows, Jesus sits down and speaks to the crowd. We have no idea what Jesus says to them. Luke does not tell us that part. But after Jesus says whatever he says to the crowd, Jesus turns to Simon Peter and says, "Put out into deep water and let down your net for a catch. Do again what you have done before every day for most of your life. Do again what you just did an hour ago and expect a different result." Jesus, isn't that the definition of insanity? Simon Peter says, "Don't you think I tried that already? We've been at this all night. If there were fish to catch, I'd have caught them already. We'd be having fish for breakfast." But Simon has too much respect to completely disregard Jesus. So with a sigh, Simon adds, "If you say so, I'll cast the net. We'll try again." Simon paddles the boat out to the deep part of the lake, and with one last shake of his head, lets down the net. The net begins to swell and almost burst with the weight of fish. Simon signals to James and John to get out there with the other boat and help with the haul of fish. James and John frantically paddle out to meet Jesus and Simon. And they begin dispersing the weight as evenly as they can, but the catch is so great that it overwhelms the boats. Simon himself becomes overwhelmed. Simon is overwhelmed by the event itself and his participation in it. The event is humbling and frightening. Simon falls on his face and says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." The word that Luke uses for sinful does not have the connotation that we have come to expect when we hear the word sin. The sense is more like, "I am not free of imperfection." Simon Peter says, "Why have you come to me? I am not particularly holy or worthy or special. I'm just Simon, just ordinary Simon. How is it that I could be up to this task? How is it that we are here doing this incredible thing? I'm just Simon. Just Brittany. Just Ryan. Just Peggy. Just Paul. Just Diane." There is this lie floating around out there that you have to be special or perfect or particularly gifted in order to be a part of incredible things. You have to be the best speaker in order to speak a healing word or a comforting word. You have to have it all figured out before you start. But the first thing about incredible things is showing up, being present, getting in the boat. And the second thing about incredible things is continuing to show up. Putting out to the deep water again and again, because one of these times there will be fish. It is what Friedrich Nietzsche has called a long obedience in the same direction that culminates into that which makes life worth living. Consistent energy poured in the same task again and again. Now, I'm not saying we continue to commit ourselves to the things that are not life-giving. Continuing to commit to an unhealthy relationship or a job that has run its course, that is a whole different evaluation that needs to be made. that is completely different than what my fifth grade self would tell you about how practicing scales on the piano was the opposite of life-giving. Long obedience in the same direction sets its sights on the bigger picture. Practicing scales on the piano builds dexterity and familiarity with key signatures, kind of crucial skills to have if you want to play the piano. Long obedience in the same direction is being a disciple of something. I'm not the first person to say that. Eugene Peterson has written a whole book on it. But to be a disciple of something means that you believe that the grind of it, even on the bad days, amounts to something greater than the individual parts. Makes the world a better place. Creates an energy all its own that beautifully ignites life and energy in others. An energy that compels nutrients up from the depths of a weary and tired soul. And that part is crucial because inevitably there are days when it's time to rehearse the song for the performance and it's just not coming together. When the result of the double axle, double toe loop in the figure skating routine results in a devastating crash to the ice. When the hours and hours spent to petition Congress about student loan forgiveness or raising the minimum wage amount to kind of nothing. When years are spent poring over manuscripts that tell important stories about racism, gender, and sexuality, only to have those books banned from school libraries. Those are the days of no fish and stinking empty nets. What truly changes the world is ordinary people showing up, performing ordinary and lackluster tasks that end up making the difference between justice and injustice, function and dysfunction, abundance and empty nets. I'll leave you with the words of Margaret Mead, words that have long brought me comfort on empty net days. She said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." Amen and amen. Let us pray. God of love and abundance, we recognize that there are ways that we have failed to co-conspire with our siblings in order to work for the good of others and the good of self. For this, we ask forgiveness. That we might breathe out our guilt, dust ourselves off, and try again. May we continue to awaken to ways that we can better love ourselves, love others, and love our planet. We remember and pray for those who are suffering illness. We ask for healing and comfort and the presence and kindness of strangers. And now, as we pray as we have been taught, with the confidence of children of God held in love and grace, I invite you to use a name for God that feels right to you. This can be Father, Mother, Creator, Divine, or perhaps there is another name of your choosing. I invite you to use it now as we pray. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. As we come to this table that is a constant for us on the empty net days and on the days of abundance, it is here for us, and it is available to each of us. And we remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup. And when he had poured it out, he gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you." And so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my love in the world. The table is set, prepared for you. Amen. At this time, I would like you to prayerfully consider how you might contribute to the work and ministry of Christ Church Uniting. This might be gifts of service. This might be gifts of time or energy, gifts of beautiful flowers to grace our worship space. This may be monetary gifts. And a link is available to you to donate online if that is how you choose to contribute. However you choose to contribute, you help Christ Church Uniting continue its work and mission and ministry in the world, and we thank you for that. And now let us join and sing our doxology. Amen. You may be seated. As our time of worship comes to a close, there are a few announcements. First of all, we are grateful to be together today in person. And for all of those on our worship team who have had to make necessary adjustments and be flexible on the fly, we thank you so much for the work that you have done and your flexibility. Second, we want to thank Paul Brennan for our flowers this morning in honor of Dottie's 85th birthday. Dottie, who is here, we rejoice in her presence with us today, and happy birthday to you. And next is Vespers on the Lanai. Vespers on the Lanai will take place this Friday, February 11th at 7 p.m. We will have space in person for about 25 people or so. Vespers coordinator Melody Heidel sent out an email this week. So if you want to attend in person, please respond to that email by Tuesday, February 8th. However, there is no limit to the number of people who can join us online streaming, so we definitely invite you to tune in that way, if not in person. And one final thing, I think, oh yes, your deacons and I met yesterday, and each of you in the community will be assigned a deacon. It might be that you have communicated with this deacon before. It might be somebody new. But they will be contacting you in the coming weeks. And this is not to pressure you or make you feel uncomfortable. This is just a way that we can support you and provide a listening ear, prayer if you need it. We want to be here for you, and our deacons and that outreach is one of the ways that we do that. So they will be contacting you in the coming weeks. And I think that's all our announcements for today. So let us join our hearts and voices one last time in our closing hymn. It is so good to have live music, is it not? Amen. Amen. People of God, as we go our separate ways, may the light of Christ dwell in you richly. And may you feel the warmth of connection in knowing that as one body in Christ, we are united and we do not go alone. Go in the grace and peace of Christ. Amen.